It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. I'm going to wind my way around the great outdoors and around the country today with stories in the middle of the winter that hopefully you might find of interest. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I received an email that had gone to spam from the Saskatchewan Department of Environment telling me I had a mandatory hunter survey that I had to complete, but I had failed to complete it. So I didn't know if I was going to the penalty box or what was going to happen. So it took a couple of weeks to finally get a live human being on the phone at the Ministry of Environment. And the calls, if you call, I don't suggest you do this, but if you call the Saskatchewan Ministry of Environment, you will receive a taped message which says, due to extraordinarily high call volume, it may take us a while to get back to you. I'm thinking, this is Saskatchewan. How many people are calling the Department of Environmental Ministry in Saskatchewan in the middle of February, or in my case, starting in late January? So it took a while for them to get back. I called half a dozen times, and each time I got the same recording due to an extraordinary amount of call volume. I'm thinking, have six people called in today? How many people live in Saskatchewan? How many Americans are calling in having the same issue I have? It can't be very many. But anyway, after weeks of trying, I got a call back from a very nice gentleman. And I told him my story, that I received this survey request, but it had gone to spam, and that I had been told it was mandatory. And I wanted to know, would I be able to buy a license in the future? Or was I in a penalty box? What was going to happen? And by the way, in Manitoba, they actually have a term called penalty box. If you don't comply with their hunter surveys, you are placed into a penalty box in Manitoba and you get demerits. And that means you're not as likely to get a license in the future. So I discussed this with the nice gentleman from Saskatchewan, who told me he was having a lovely winter, that they finally had some snow in Regina and on up in the North Country, and things were looking better as far as water on the landscape, which Saskatchewan's been in a terrible drought for several years. And so I said, well, what do I need to do? And he said, oh, you don't need to do anything. I said, well, I'm looking at your email. It says mandatory hunter survey. He said, oh, well, we actually can't figure out what the penalties should be if you don't comply with the survey. So there are no penalties. And we placed on the survey that it was mandatory, but there's actually nothing behind that, because the province hasn't figured out if someone doesn't comply with the survey, should they get a license in the future, etc. So he said, I actually can't even fill out the survey for you because the deadline passed, but you're not in a penalty box. There's no issues. Thank you for calling, but you don't have anything to worry about. So just closing the loop for those of you who listening around the country may have received the same message from the province of Saskatchewan. You don't have to fill out the survey. They'd like you to fill it out. I would have been happy to fill it out if it hadn't gone to my spam, but it's not mandatory, and you'll still be able to hunt and fish in Saskatchewan next year. Moving on from Saskatchewan, an incredible story, and I happen to know this individual. In fact, I happen to know all of the individuals in the Houtman family going back many years. Lucky seven for James Houtman. This is an incredible story. If you, those of you who saw the movie Fargo, you may remember the line in the movie about the Houtmans must have won again, in reference to the duck stamp program. So if you've hunted in the United States since 1934, each year hunted waterfowl, you've been required to buy a quote unquote federal duck stamp since 1934. And it has raised $1.3 billion from duck hunters and goose hunters to preserve about 6 million acres of habitat for waterfowl. And actually all birds benefit from this and other wildlife, which works out to about $217 an acre. That's a pretty efficient program. The other thing that's incredibly efficient is that it's required that 98 cents of every duck stamp dollar go directly to the acquisition or easement securement of habitat for waterfowl, primarily on the beating grounds. Only 2% can go to administration. So what's Lucky Seven? And I'll come back to that thought in a second. James Houtman, Jim Houtman, as I know him, has won the federal duck stamp program again, for the seventh time he has won the federal duck stamp program. His brothers put the three of them together and they have won it 16 times. Jim Houtman won the duck stamp when I first met him back in 1990. I met him in 1991 on the Delta Marsh. He won it in 1990, he won it in 1995, he won it in 1999, he won it in 2011, he won it in 2017, and in 2022. Incredible that one individual could win it seven times. But equally incredible is that one of his brothers has won it six times. Joe Houtman has won it six times, and his other brother, Robert, has won it three times. Maynard Reese, prior to this, held the record. He won it five times. So the Houtmans have won it 16 times, and they've won it 16 times since 1990. It'll never be repeated. It'll never be repeated. No family is ever going to win the duck stamp 16 times going forward. And can somebody break Jim Houtman's record of winning it seven times? It's quite possibly, because his brother Joe has won it six times. So he's only one behind. So think about that for a second. The Houtmans are not known like Owen Grommey or David Moss or Ogden Pleisner or any of the great, great waterfowl artists, Richard Bishop, et cetera, through the years. They're not known in that world. And yet, in the rarefied air of the federal duck stamp, no one has won it more times. It used to be worth over $1 million if you won the federal duck stamp, and duck stamp sales, from the point of view of prints, they were sold around America. All that has ended with the internet. There's no longer a market for the federal duck stamp. They do print prints. Jim Houtman will get a percentage of the royalty from these print sales. The print sales are just a fraction of what they used to be. Wild Wings out of Lake City, Minnesota, which was founded by Bill Webster, used to print the federal duck stamp prints. And they sold tens of thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of prints. The federal duck stamp collection, there were collectors who had every single duck stamp and print from the beginning. Well, now that's almost 100 years. It's a lot of prints. The internet, and people don't buy the federal duck stamp. You just simply get it over the internet. All that has changed. It's so the monetary value, which used to be quite significant in winning the federal duck stamp contest, has gone away. There is very little monetary value, but there still is a lot of prestige. So congratulations to you, Jim, for winning this for the seventh time. Joe, congratulations to you as well for winning it six times. And Bob, congratulations to you for having won it three times. What a pleasure to have met each of you through the years. Your work for conservation is now legendary, historic, and I don't think will ever be equaled. The Houtmans forever are going to be linked to the federal duck stamp program and its incredible success. And when I talk about the success of the federal duck stamp program for a second, and I mentioned before I go to the break that 98 cents on every dollar in the federal duck stamp is to go into habitat, there are a few individuals we can thank for that. And one of them is an individual by the name of Max McGraw, who was a great friend of Ding Darling's. So when the federal duck stamp came into being in the early 1930s, it was voted in 1934, there was a strong anti-government waste, sound familiar, sentiment in the American public, and they did not want to have a stamp that could be passed as a tax on the duck hunters and then have the money diverted to other uses of the government. So this stamp was not going to pass Congress. And Max McGraw and a few other individuals got together with Ding Darling and said, we will get the American public and American industry behind this stamp if you have the act written in such a way that only 2% of the funding can be siphoned off for administration and 98% will go to actual habitat. It's the only program of its kind that I'm aware of for wildlife conservation that's ever had this hurdle. It was put together by Ding Darling to do that. Max McGraw and his friends back in 1934 then went around the country and rallied for the passage of the stamp, rallied Congress because there would be no waste, and it passed. It's the most successful program for conservation in the history of America. I'll be back with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do come back, I'm going to talk about the latest on deer hunting numbers, which I think is pretty interesting. Also on pheasant and quail in Illinois. The NRA says it's going through a bit of a change. Very welcome. And if I have time, I'll talk about sage grouse in North Dakota. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Hope you're enjoying the show. And at some point in this year, I will come back to the story of the federal duck stamp because it is like so many things being revisited. And it's one act of Congress that it would be hard to improve upon, but there seem to be some who think that it should be improved upon. I won't go into that today, but we are going to have to fight pretty hard to make sure that the federal duck stamp funds don't get diverted to other purposes, which whenever you have success, other people want to take it away. It's been under threat before, but now there's a somewhat of a movement to change the entire thing, and that would be really bad. So anyway, deer hunters. Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Those are the three states that have most of the deer hunters. Texas has about 740,000. Same with Pennsylvania. Wisconsin, 790,000. So those three states make up about 15% of the deer hunters in America. Actually, they make up more than 15%. So in 1982, it was estimated that there were 16.7 million of us who went deer hunting. Last year the records were available, 2024, it was estimated that 11 million people went deer hunting. That's a 36% decline in the number of people going deer hunting across America at a time when deer populations are very healthy and in some areas continue to increase and in many areas are so healthy that they are a nuisance. Why has the number of people gone deer hunting declined by 36%? And particularly given that we now see all over, Meat Eater and others, explaining why eating wild game is so beneficial and healthy, and why we know that managing deer through hunting is a way to manage habitat as well and manage populations. Bottom line is, there are a lot fewer hunters in America, and whether it's the fact that people don't have time, we're so engaged with our kids, we got soccer practice or whatever it is, volleyball or football and all those things that people used to do, have time to go hunting, and now they can't because we're doing so many other things, whether it's the internet, whether it's kids don't have an interest. It's more than kids. And we've talked about this a lot and we'll continue to. This is the biggest threat to the future of wildlife management and also the heritage of hunting and fishing in America, is sustaining the right of people to hunt and fish so that we can manage wildlife. So we've lost about, 36% to be precise, but in just a period of the last 40 plus years. If we lose that again in the coming three decades, we're not going to have enough people hunting in America to be able to manage wildlife. Additionally comment on that, the number of waterfowl hunters in 1955, 2 million duck stamps were sold. And in 1955, no slight on Louisiana and the South, a lot of people went duck hunting and didn't buy a federal duck stamp, not only in Louisiana, but across America. So if there were 2 million federal duck stamps sold in 1955, there were a lot more than 2 million people actually hunting waterfowl. And also in 1955, waterfowl, the federal duck stamp had not become a collector's item yet. So there weren't that many people actually collecting to add to the total. So we had well over 2 million people hunting waterfowl in 1955. Now we've got less than a million. We're probably in the 900,000 area when collectors of stamps are taken out, and it's declining. So we have lost half the number of waterfowl hunters since 1955. So over a 60-year period, we've lost 70-year period, really almost 70 years, we've lost half the hunters, more than half. We also have likely lost far more than half of the habitat where waterfowl hunters could have hunted. It can be explained in that regard. The decline in waterfowl hunters matches in large part the decline in waterfowl populations and the decline in places to go waterfowl hunting where you can have quality hunting. Deer hunting? Yes, suburbia has grown all around all these cities, and particularly if you look at the big deer hunting states, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, their populations have grown quite a bit. Texas, of course, is exploding. So maybe you can explain some of the loss in hunter numbers to that, but hunters are mobile. Hard to explain that when it comes to waterfowl. It is a combination of things which indicates they're going to continue to go down. And furthermore, in 1955, we had very few geese to shoot. Snow geese were not something that were popular from the point of view of having a huge population, except outside of certain areas. Canada geese were still restricted or off limits. Hard to believe that. Off limits to hunting, and of course now they've exploded and they're everywhere. So in that number of 2 million duck stamps sold in 1955, that was almost all duck hunters. There were not a lot of goose hunters. The number of about 900,000 now, there are a lot of goose hunters in there, so duck hunters have actually fallen much further. That simply is a clear indication of what has happened to the state of waterfowl in this case, duck hunting conservation. Last comment, quail and pheasants in Illinois. In 1970, there were over 2 million quail estimated to be shot in Illinois and about 1,200,000 pheasants in 1970. You could have won a lot of bets that Illinois shot more quail than pheasants in 1970. Today, we're about 10% on both. We have seen a 90% decline in the state of Illinois in the number of pheasants and quail hunted, and that is due to the loss of habitat. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would like to go quail and pheasant hunting in Illinois, but there's simply nothing to hunt. And also, we are much more urbanized society, so those of us with dogs and things like that are a lot fewer. Bottom line is there are a lot fewer hunters in America today than there were not that long ago, and the likelihood is the trend is going to continue, and what will that mean for the future of wildlife management? It's an open-ended question. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed The Great Outdoors. Be back next Sunday morning with much more on The Great Outdoors across America. And I hope you have a great week, and for those of you who like to ice fish, you still have perfect weather for it. Have at it. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.